tuning in to BBS Radio. How are you? I'm doing okay. This is Blake Ruby, otherwise known as the Reverend Blake Ruby. And welcome to the show, Church of the Soul's Evolution. This isn't about religion, this is about spirituality. I'm talking about spirituality. I'm trying to put it to you in a way that you like it, because we are all co-creator gods in the making. And like it says on BBS Radio's website for my show, Jesus said that we are gods in the making. There's no other reason to explain why we're here on earth, other than we are going through a process known as reincarnation, living one life after another, and the universe is full of life. There are so many millions and billions even planets out there that are inhabited by beings like us. I just wish and I hope in my lifetime that we can make contact with them, because the world would be so much a better place if we could make contact with extraterrestrials. All the war and killing that we've had in our past could be put away, and never again would we kill someone without a good reason. Never again would we kill somebody, period. My friends, I'm going to do a little reading for you today. That's what I like to do, and then talk about what I read. But before I do, let me say this morning, I did, we went to a Toastmasters club, which is a public speaking club where we learn to be public speakers, public speaking. And there was about 10 people there. So imagine that, waking up and first thing Saturday morning, how would you like to go to a public speaking club and get up and talk in front of everybody? That's what we did, and that's what I'm learning to do. Having your own radio show on BBS Radio, also that is a good way to improve your public speaking skills, especially when you're passionate about a subject, you know. At Toastmasters, we don't normally talk about politics or religion. But on my radio show, I can talk about anything that I want to. And if you have your own radio show, you can talk about anything you want to. I would like to talk about, just briefly, touch on this, for the election coming up in November. And it's a pretty point of contention, you know, a pretty big topic to talk about, because we are also, most of us, the majority of us, are passionate about who we believe in. But really, we only have two choices. The majority of us are either Republican or Democrat. I personally have voted for both parties because I usually vote for the person, not the party. The person is what I'm looking at. And how good are they? Are they a decent human being? Are they kind? Are they generous? But I thought I would try to lay to rest this idea about the election being stolen. And I'll submit this to you. I'm going to present some rationale and some logic that I would like to appeal to your logical and rational side. Now, some people, they're going to vote one way or the other. They don't care who the representative is. Their long life, long term Republicans for life. I heard somebody say that on the January 6th committee. They interviewed somebody. She said, I'm a lifelong Republican. Well, there could be lifelong Republicans out there or lifelong Democrats. Maybe your family has had a history of voting one way or the other from generation to generation, and you don't care who the person is that represents that party. You're just not going to vote for the other party. You might be a lifelong Republican. And it wouldn't matter if Pee Wee Herman was running for president. You're still going to vote Republican because you don't like the Democrats' point of views, their points of view, their perspective. And the same thing with the Democrats. You might be a lifelong Democrat, and you don't care even if Lady Gaga ran for president. You still vote for her because you don't want to vote Republican because your family and your ancestors have always voted Democrat. But let me appeal to you because it seems to me there's a flaw in people's rationale and people's logic when it comes to the election results. Do you believe in innocent until proven guilty? Isn't that what we all believe in? Isn't that something that's at the very foundation of our country? Always, in a reasonable, law-abiding country where we have our values and beliefs that we espouse, innocent until proven guilty has always been the truth. Innocent until proven guilty. Right? We're not living in a communist country where they'll execute you without giving you a trial. Well, no evidence has been found with election fraud. No evidence has been found that anyone cheated or manipulated the machines in any way. And how long has it been now? 2 years in the great United States of America, with all our technology and all the brilliant and lawyers and judges, no one's been able to find any evidence that the election was stolen. No evidence at all. The Supreme Court has not been asked to look at any evidence that the election was stolen. So I compare the election results that we have to being innocent and being proven guilty. It can't be proven otherwise because there is no evidence. Innocent until proven guilty, accept the election results because there is no evidence on the contrary. Let's all be good sports. Just like if you watch a football game and your team that you love loses, you accept it. There's nothing you can do about it. Like with the Super Bowl, last year I was rooting for Cincinnati, this year actually, in February. And I am a big sports fan. I have been since 1968. And I like Joe Burrow, the quarterback for Cincinnati. And they could have won that game. And they would have won that game except for the referees who stole that game from Cincinnati and gave it to L.A. And you don't know what I'm talking about. Look at the videos on YouTube. In the last 2 minutes, it was very obvious. A very blatant missed call, a false start on the L.A. offense. It was a false start. The mother of all false starts. The mother of all false starts. And then they called a couple of bad penalties because they wanted to give that game to the L.A. Rams. It was there in L.A. And there was nothing anybody could do about it. So what did I do? I accepted the result, but then I thought to myself, well, next time, maybe I won't watch the Super Bowl. Or someone who voted and lost could say, okay, we need a new superstar in the Republican Party, somebody that can represent us well. We need someone who's young, who's full of vigor and enthusiasm, like Barack Obama when he won the election back in 2008. And that was one time, my friends, I'll share this with you, I heard the voice of God. I heard the voice of God, and I know some people heard it also. Because let me explain the situation, how I heard it. It was like a very loud, quiet voice. It wasn't audible in the sense that I heard it with my... Maybe I did, I don't know. But it was just when I forget the name of the preacher who was getting ready to say the invocation, and the situation was there, a Capitol, millions of people in front of him on the mall, the Washington Mall, all there to see the first black president elected as president of the United States, inaugurated as the first president of the United States, I mean, first black president of the United States. And all those people, and just before the preacher started giving the invocation, I heard a voice that said, "I am." And it swept over all those people on TV. I looked, and the body language that I interpreted at the time was that some people felt something. Some people thought they heard something too. To me, it came across as, "I am." And why is that? Because here in the United States, ever since our forefathers started this great country, they were inspired by God. Inspired by God to start a country where there would be freedom and liberty and the pursuit of happiness and a diversity from all countries. Even today, you hear about the migrants. People are coming from all different countries, not just Mexico and Central America, but everywhere. They're all coming here to the United States. Why? Because we believe in freedom. Freedom. But we've kind of gotten away from that, my friends, since our forefathers had their vision and started this great country, which was founded on the principles of God and country. Men who were inspired by God. I'm going to read something to you from a book called Fast Lane to Heaven. And this man who wrote the book, he was a business owner. He owned some nightclubs. He was living the fast lane life, drinking, addicted to alcohol, an alcoholic, into drugs. He was very rich. He had multiple houses and cars and airplanes. So he was going down the fast lane in life. Are you going down the fast lane, my friend? So Ned Doherty is his name. And one night he was in his club, Club Marrakesh in the Hamptons in New Jersey. And he got into a fight with this one man outside, and he lost control and was going to kill this one man, and all of a sudden he had a heart attack. And he had a near-death experience, and it's described in the book Fast Lane to Heaven. It's an excellent read. I think you'd enjoy it. And he has all these visions of the future. But after he was taken to the hospital and he recovered, he continued to have these spells where he would lose consciousness. So he wasn't completely healed, but he was in constant communication with what I call the fourth dimension. And I can't remember if he was a Vietnam veteran. I don't think he was. But when he first had the near-death experience, he met a good friend of his who had died in Vietnam. And he came to him and talked to him, and he knew he was dead. And he was shown a place in outer space where there was like a crystalline kind of amphitheater with millions of, maybe not millions, but thousands of souls who were there, and he had a life reveal in front of them, and he was in outer space surrounded by all the brilliant diamond-like stars sparkling in the velvety blackness of outer space. And it was so real to him, and that's one thing we can't ignore, that these experiences are real to to the people, and it changes their life, and it changed his. He wrote this book. But I'm going to read to you this part about when he went down by the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, and all of a sudden he lost consciousness and had a visitation by a great, great spiritual being known as Archangel Michael. I'm going to read to you what Archangel Michael had to say for America. But keep in mind, this happened back in the late 80s, and a lot has happened since then. We've had war. We've had a lot of active shootings recently in the recent past. God forbid, you know, that we have one more and someone else, one of our brothers and sisters in spirit, is killed or injured around the United States or anywhere around. Where we're supposed to be. How Archangel comes out very clearly for all of us, okay? I'm going to read this. Now, what he's saying is not, so to speak. So don't think we can't come back from this, you know? He has visions of the future can be changed with what? Prayer. I encourage you to pray. Like I've said on previous shows, in another near-death experience, a man came face-to-face with God, our creator of our soul and our spirit. Do you have a spirit in your body? I think you do. If you say yes, then you have a spirit in your body. That spirit was created. Your soul is the brain of your spirit. It remembers all your past lives. The only thing is, you were born into this world, and the memories of your past lives and of universal knowledge was erased from your memory. But you existed before you were born, my friends. That is the truth. Take it from me, Blake Ruby, the Reverend Blake Ruby. So I'm going to read what Archangel Michael had to say, but don't get too depressed about it. Just remember that we can change things with prayer. We need to turn back to God. Okay? You ready? It's powerful. Message. Don't want to shake your fist, but everyone needs to hear this. And remember, now it's almost 30 years afterwards, so we've done well. We're still alive today. We're still surviving. Okay? Here goes. He's in Washington, D.C. He says, as I walked across Constitution Avenue and into a dark tree-lined path, I thought how I'd lost control of my thoughts and actions, of my destiny. Now it was time to gain it back, and oddly, I would gain it by letting go. I had to turn over my control to God, who was now guiding me. As I walked through the dark path, I was not alone. He was guiding me. I realized that my life was not about to end, but that I had another chance, a new beginning. My drinking days were over. The 20-year saga had come to an end. Kind of reminds me of me, you know? I had to recover physically, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. I knew what I had to do. Now that I was beginning to discover my true self, I was determined to move forward and reunited with my spirit. I would never again let it go. Dark path until it opened into a clearing. I looked up into a sky of brilliant stars. I was overwhelmed with emotion. My journey brought me to a rise of land that overlooked the Vietnam War Memorial. Again, I stood again in front of the slab of granite bearing my friend's name, Captain Dan. I thought back to the night of July the 2nd, 1984, when I left my body in the ambulance and floated free to be greeted by Dan. That evening had been the start of a long and difficult path of spiritual discovery. It was no coincidence that I've been drawn back to this wall this particular night. As I reached out to touch my friend's name on the wall, a shock of energy went through my body. I felt my body falling to the ground. I was now free of that body and floating above it. I was enveloped in an intense light. I was in the presence of a great spiritual being, a booming voice filled the air. It was the most powerful voice I had ever heard. It was the voice of the Archangel Michael. I recognized that he was conveying a message of importance. He said, "Forefathers under God with liberty and justice for all. Be a man of high ideals, spiritually guided and inspired to create a nation and a civilization to be admired and respected, to set an example for the rest of the world. In exercising their free will under God's guidance and direction, they created a constitution and a bill of rights for every man, woman, and child to live in freedom in the pursuit of happiness. Yet these high-minded and spiritual men were soon replaced by others who, in the exercise of their free will, chose to put their egos before God and to joust with God's plan. You became a nation of spoilers, man against man, brother against brother, government against citizens, and the chosen nation became a warrior with and against other nations. You have become a nation of criminals and murderers. You murder in wars. You murder the innocent. You murder your children. Your leaders create laws to justify the murders, to attempt to make wrongs right, to rewrite morals and ethics to support your own earthbound greeds and desires. You have become a nation further and further from the spirit and influence of God. You have created sciences and philosophies to support activities that only recognize earthbound realities, that not only refuse to recognize the spiritual nature of man himself, but refuse to recognize even the existence of God. You have taken God and his works of prayer and meditation out of your government, out of your institutions, out of your schools. You have done everything you can to deny his existence, and you find yourselves in a world filled with wars, hatred, starvation, and death, and you do not understand why the rest of the world does not follow your shining example. You are a nation at war with itself, filled with hatred, prejudice, crime, drugs, and murder. Yet when the few of you who do look to God ask him why all these things are allowed to happen, you do not hear his answer. You are members of the human race, universally created by God and given free will individually, divine right, and you would not wish to have it any other way. Yet every little act of free will that man has exercised from the beginning of time that was not in a multiplied in its impact on the future of man. Every simple act of aggression multiplied into acts of world war. Every simple act of greed multiplied into worldwide human suffering and starvation. Every act of destruction of God's environment on earth multiplied into destructive forces of nature, earthquakes, floods, pestilence, nuclear destruction, and nuclear waste. Every act of violence escalated into acts of murder and the extermination of ethnic people for their appearance or beliefs. Yet God created a nation of high ideals for you to survive other empires and civilizations that crumbled into oblivion, like Atlantis, for example, or Lemuria. For their leaders placed themselves as men above God, and now those empires and civilizations are but piles of dust or buried under the water. You sit on the edge of the new future of mankind, and you are headed, like all great civilizations of the past, to be reduced to piles of dust, to be covered over by water. Yet God comes to you again, to appeal to you as a people, to appeal to you as a nation, to appeal to your leaders. His army of angels is visiting upon you with a life force of a spiritual energy radiated by the spirit of mankind. Many of you feel the vibrancy of his energy and his divine presence. He is communicating to you spiritually, telling you to raise yourselves to the level of spiritual transformation that is necessary for those of you who hear him to spread his message and his energy to recognize that he is coming. Guided by prayer and meditation, all men, women, and children may answer his call. But it must be soon. Time is running out. Angels are coming. Do you hear them? Are you listening? Are you listening? As the Archangel Michael, I began to float gently back down into my body. Several people were on the sidewalk at the base of the wall. Further away, I could see a team of bees with a gurney rushing toward my body. As my spiritual self re-entered my body, I began to gasp for air. I felt an energy force of spirit move up through and out of my body. Then I realized that the gnawing feeling in my gut had also left my body. Feeling for so many years had disappeared. My compulsion to drink was gone. I found myself reunited with my body in a state of peace and serenity. As the EMTs began to, I felt a gentle breeze and heard the rustling of autumn leaves on the were of the message of the Archangel Michael as his final words echoed through my ebbing state of consciousness. Are you listening? Falling asleep, I respond, I am. I am. I am. There you have it, my friends. I'll read something a little bit more later if I have time. That's from the book Slain to Heaven, published in 1984. The author's name is Ned Dougherty, Dougherty. Actually, 2001, but that experience he had was in 1984, I think. He was also visited by a lady of light, who he thought was the Virgin Mary. Hold on just a few seconds, please. I'm going to get my water here and take a drink. Going down over there. And just about a month ago, it was way up in the sky. It's amazing, isn't it? You know, like our revolution around the sun, rotating on our axis. Oh, one of the dogs just came out into the patio. My wife and I went and looked today at a new house because we would like to move to this house. And it was nice. Trying to sell us the new house who had I had been with, who had sold me this house, in other words, back in 2000. And he's a really good guy. Was actually a congressman for a couple of years. I sold him, but he sold me this house, and he was trying to sell us this new house, but my wife is not convinced, and so I think we're going to go to another housing division, which is just around the corner, which services the school district my granddaughter, Malia, is in, Southwest. She's 30 years old in the 8th grade. And so all that has to happen sometime probably next year, maybe in the summertime. God willing. You know, I make pretty good money. And we live comfortably, but I pay all the bills, and that's okay. I'm not complaining. My wife, she has some financial issues, and so I'm kind of taking care of the load of everything. My stepdaughter doesn't work and hasn't worked. Our house does do the election polling stations, you know. Next month in October, she'll be doing the early voting, and so she works 2 weeks, and then on the election day in May, she'll work those days. But otherwise, I pay for everything. Plus three cars. I own three cars, a 19 Highlander, Toyota, two Camrys, a 16 and a 17. I pay all the utilities. I even give my wife money to pay for her car. I pay for all the maintenance. I give her money for gas. And our dogs are all too. We give them steak and chicken and hamburger and pork chops and cheese. And we buy chicken jerky bags, $50 a bag from HEB. And there's one of our dogs coming back again. They're in really good shape. They're very healthy. And I'm grateful for that. And that's one of the reasons I look after them that well, is because I want to see them live to be a ripe old age, you know, and not get sick, not get kicked. We take them for a walk. Once we take them out in the car, we go to Lackland Air Force Base. We got this one place where we let them run around off the leash. Any dog, just for information, for your information, if you have a dog, if you want a happy dog, a healthy dog, let it run. Dogs love to run. Why? Because it's good for their hearts, good for their breathing. So find a way to let them run off the leash, you know. Walking doesn't really cut it. How would you like to be walked on a leash when you were younger, when you wanted to run, when you were a child? When we were children, we all used to run. We ran everywhere, didn't we? And we loved it. We were laughing all the time. I've been getting back to running. I'm not talking about the long distance running like I used to do when I was in the Army. Now I just like walking and I like sprinting. Sometimes I'll do 100% energy, you know, with the sprint, go as fast as I can. Other times, not that fast, maybe 90%, 80% effort. But there's so many benefits. There are so many benefits to sprinting. Check it out on the internet. It stimulates the human growth hormone in the body. It's good for the heart. It's like the best exercise you can do for the heart. It gets the heart beating fast. You know, all you have to do is sprint for like 5 to 10 seconds. You don't have to try to compete with any Olympics, you know. 5 to 8 seconds sprint. That's so much benefit to the human body. And that's what I've been doing for the last 5 years or so. Experimenting with sprinting. I've worked out on the track. I continue to that track. We're on asphalt. There's a dirt track on Lackland Air Force Base. But make sure you check with your doctor. Don't take my word for it completely. I don't want to give any bad information to you and see you get hurt, you know. Check with your doctor first if you do some sprinting. You know, make sure that you're okay to push yourself to greater levels of exercise, if you know what I mean. And now the sun is coming. In a few seconds, we'll be down below the trees, but right now it's my eyes. And for some reason, I can't get good connectivity in places here in my enclosed patio recently. I think it might be because of the metal roof, but people tell me that I hope to do my show today. Video, and I think it's working. When I talked with Doug before the show, he said I sounded better than where I was before. So I'm right alongside the wall of the enclosed patio, so maybe that's the key, because I have access to the outside right here, and there's no roof over my head, and that's why the connectivity is better, I think. Anyway, what did you think of that message from the Archangel Michael? It's in that book, and I'll not to say it, to read it out loud to you, because it's kind of slamming us, you know. I don't want to see the United States go down, you know. I want us to be the financial power, if you will, and the spiritual power of the world, because we have been. We call ourselves a superpower, but you have to know that Russia and China, who are like to hear that, right? And they have nuclear arms. And so why can't we get along together, you know? Like Ronald Reagan said when addressing the United Nations back in the late 80s, he said, I can't help but think if we were confronted with an alien threat from outer space, how everyone would pull together as one world, one planet, you know? But, my friends, I've talked about this on my show before. The races that I'm familiar with that are out there, especially the one who is watching over us, who guardianship of us, would not permit that to happen. And they wouldn't do it themselves because there would be no reason to. They are spiritually and technologically much superior to us because their solar system in the Milky Way galaxy was created hundreds of thousands of years before our own was even created. Our own solar system was even created. And that's just in our galaxy. Imagine the universe. If you go 15 billion years to the center of the universe and first solar system that was created, and then one solar system after another, and another, until, excuse me, drinking water here, same time, trying to talk. A galaxy was formed, and then a new galaxy began forming, one solar system after another. Here we are in the spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy, which is about 100,000 light years across. And that's an is Alpha your way. Very long compared to 100,000 light years from one end to the other. Do you know that the Voyager spacecraft, which were launched in the 1970s, Voyager 1 and 2, have since exited our solar system, which is about about miles in diameter, and they're traveling at about 40,000 miles an hour going away from our solar system, going to Alpha Centauri, and even traveling at 40,000 miles an hour, you know how long it would take them to get to Alpha Centauri, just 4 light years away? About 20,000 years. Isn't that an awful long distance? But that's with the technology we have now, rocket fuels. They have what they call solar sails for a spacecraft. They've got ion propulsion engines. But what we really need is to implement anti-gravity technology, which I know the United States has. We do have it, but it's kept in wraps. It's a very secret thing because they don't want our competition to get a hold of it. People who might use it against us, you know, to try to dominate us like Hitler and his Nazis did during World War II. But they hold this secret to the public, from the public, when really everything should be transparent and honest. You know, they should be honest about it because we need to know. We are human beings. We're worthy of respect and dignity. We are individual lives. And whether we're a child or an adult, we can handle the truth. But some people think that we can't. And I say they're wrong for feeling that way. Is that what our forefathers envisioned? Freedom, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness does not mean a government should hold things back in secrecy. Things that we should know, like we're not alone in the universe. It makes such a big difference, my friends. Such a big difference if we knew that we were not alone. If we knew with 100% certainty that there is life out there. And through logic and rationale, remember I started my show talking about logic and rationale. It can be applied also to proving that there is life out there. And I've said this before. Forgive me, please, if I say it again. I hope it doesn't bore you, but and I hope you realize that there is a lot of different animals here on Earth, over 1 million types of insects, over 30,000 types of fish in the ocean, seas, rivers, and lakes, over types of birds, reptiles, over 5,000 types of mammals. Logically, birds. Out there, James telescope, that there aren't any more planets out there, that they're not discovering some each day, that right without solar system, tell them that you don't believe them. Well, it's true. There are other planets out there, and if all this life on Earth happened by accident, it could happen by accident over there and over there in the universe. Many, many, many. Once we don't believe, but we know. All of us collectively can make that next step. Because they've got different eyes and they've got different skin And of course, they're extremely, extremely intelligent because they're already traveling around the universe very quickly, going from one dimension to another for hundreds of millions of years. But they want to make contact with us. They want us to be members of the intergalactic community, my friends. Just think of the benefits. I'll name two for you. Number one, we could become star travelers when they share their technology with us. Once we join the Federation of Sovereign Planets, don't laugh. It's real. It's true. Accept it. Embrace it. Feel it. The Intergalactic Federation. And some with skin like bark or scales. Extra respective planet, creator of the universe, was that his eye would be put into other beings like us. His eyes, his or her eyes, because the creator of the universe is both male and female, so that every once in a while he could see what we see. Don't be frightened. Enjoy the ride. That's what I tell myself. And think of all those animals I mentioned, insects, fish, birds, reptiles, amphibians. They have eyes, too. Let's imagine the eyes created in his or her image. And that's what we have here, my friends, is a network. We are all one. We are all pieces of the whole. We have an infinitesimal part of the Supreme Creator in our bodies. And that's known as your soul. It's a little bit of light. It's our lamp, the lamp of our soul, lightened up. And our objective, when we're born, planets, universe, increase the light. You'll see, once you get to heaven, that world of light over there in the distance, once you get there, you'll see how all these different people shine with different frequencies of light. A great spiritual being like Archangel Michael or Jesus who died on the cross, or maybe Peter, one of the disciples, or maybe King David, one of the patriarchs of the Bible, just to name a few, shine with a light that has its own intensity. And the object of the game, my friends, is to increase your light. Develop yourself spiritually and increase your light, just like I was saying. When I was, just like it was read, what Archangel Michael said, we are to develop ourselves spiritually, but we want. And for those that are living right now, our ancestors, yes, they took a long turn down the path. And it's up to us to lead our children into a world that's at peace, killing, need to kill brothers and sisters in spirit. We should be loving each other. Because you know why? Because we could die tomorrow. You see somebody on the street. Reminds me of when I went on a cruise a few weeks ago. On this cruise ship, there were thousands of people that we were intermingling with, walking by on the boat. All these people are from different walks of life who have a brain, who have a heart, blood pumping to hundreds of miles of veins within their body, lungs which purify the blood, just walking miracles, all of us, some who have almost died before in the past, like me, who bravely came to this world to take on another shell of a body and to develop ourselves spiritually, to graduate from this school, not only just plain graduate, but with honors. The University of the Universe, planet Earth, is the lowest on the evolutionary scale. There are some people to help others. Some souls are, suffice to say, souls. We have our own light. In existence longer than us, but that doesn't mean they're any better. And I know it's difficult. I see every day people I work with, they're beautiful people, but they've got a heavy burden on their shoulders. A lot of us do. I do. We carry a heavy weight. Reminds me of that song by the Hollies. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. How am I doing on time? With many a turning that leads us to who knows where, who knows where. But I'm strong enough to carry him. He ain't heavy, he's my brother, so on we go. His welfare is my concern, no burden is he to bear. We'll get there, for I know he would not come to me. He ain't heavy, he's my brother and sister. I've got a sister, my friends. So I've only got about a minute here. Remember what God said to that man. I believe I might have skipped over there at the beginning. I've said it before on another show. God told, and check this out on the internet. Check out the near-death experience of Lou Famoso. Isn't that a cool name? Famoso, F-A-M-O-S-O. He was in a Mustang, a new Mustang, when he came back from Vietnam. It flipped end over end several times, caught on fire. He had a near-death experience. And he had a face-to-face encounter with God. And among other things, God told him, man will pray on man until man learns to pray for man. P-R-E-Y. Versus P-R-A-Y. Don't forget that, please. Don't you forget that, my friends. Man will pray, P-R-A-Y, excuse me, P-R, come on. Man will pray, P-R-E-Y on man until man learns to pray for man. I've got 1 minute. Supreme Creator, hear our prayer, please. Don't let us go down beneath the bodies of water. Help our civilization, please. I pray to you, Supreme Creator of the universe, to help us, help our planet, guide us, protect us, help us to do your will. We love you, Supreme Creator. You are awesome and wonderful, and we worship you. We will forever. Thank you, a thousand thank yous for everything you've done, all creation. Amen. All right, everybody. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.